tonight. We're going to go to a couple different passages, okay? So I'm trying to clean up so I don't trip over anything up here. But we've been doing a series for the past couple weeks on living your life. Actually, we're in our third week of it. And we're going to go through several weeks of this on how to really live the life that God intends for you to live, to experience the joy that God wants you to experience. And so we started by saying that if you're going to live life, you got to slow down. And we've dealt with this, and I'm not going to go in too much detail because you can listen to it all online. But the truth is if you're in a hurry all the time, there's four things that are going to happen in your life. You're going to be more stressed. You're not going to be as productive. You're not going to hear God like you should. You're not going to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And so we kind of last week started, okay, if you want to slow down and actually experience life and enjoy it, we said there's four things that you're going to have to do. Last week we talked about, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the whole, you've got to stop the pursuit for more. All right? You've got to stop this constant drive that we have in our lives to achieve or to have or to gain or to accomplish more. Matter of fact, Paul said, I found that whatever situation I'm in, I'm going to be content. I found how to be content. We said that, listen, ambitions, while a lot of times can be good, can also be equally as bad. You can be driven by the wrong things in life. You can try to succeed because somebody told you you wouldn't succeed. That's not a good way to be driven. You should be driven by goals that are going to benefit your life and the lives of those around you, not by anything else. All right? So we said there's certain things you got to do, and you can check those out. So tonight, we're going to go on number two. If you're going to slow down, we're going to review very quickly something that we've talked about before, but we're going to go in a little more detail of it tonight. So bow your heads, let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into it, and we'll go in detail tonight. God, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you are. And God, I just pray that as we speak, as we come to you in this moment, that our opinions will be left out, that anything that we have to say, God, we don't want that heard. We only want your truth to be heard tonight. And I just pray that you'll speak through your word, make it clear. God, help us to understand it. But even greater, God, may we have a desire to put into action what it is that you teach us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I think in our society, we have cultivated an addiction. And that addiction is to speed. And I'm not talking about the drug, okay? I'm talking about the constantly being somewhere, doing something, can't sit still. Anybody else in here have a problem when you have a day off with nothing to do? In your mind, like you feel like you're going to go crazy because you feel like you should be doing something. Anybody like that? All right, I am. I know this past week, my wife had surgery, so there was a lot of time spent at home. I pulled out and decorated every Christmas tree, which is five, and I painted our bedroom. I mean, everything I could possibly do. I say to people all the time, I feel like I have a hard time sitting still. Anybody feel like that? All right. Now, is that a good thing? Yeah. But can that be a bad thing too? Yeah, you better believe it. Matter of fact, we're going to look at something tonight on slowing down. It's a very, very important fact that we learn. Matter of fact, some people that are here tonight have really emphasized this in my life, told me this several times. And so you're going to hear me quote Jennifer and Eric in a little bit, all right? But the truth is if you're going to slow down at some point in your life, you're going to have to learn how to say no. All right, you're going to have to learn that, listen, your schedules being busy does not make you important. And a lot of people feel like they're important just by how busy they are. Matter of fact, if you don't believe that, how many people have you had a conversation with and you're trying to explain how exhausted you are in their day, in your day, and they're trying to trump you. They're trying to tell you just how busy their day was and, you know, how they didn't have time. And the next thing you know, somebody else joins in and is like, oh yeah, I did this, this, and it's like we're in this competition to see who can be the busiest, you know? And a lot of times people feel like, well, I'm important if I'm busy. And the truth is can I tell you, you miss out on what's important if you're too busy. It's not that you're important, it's you're missing what's important. And so we're going to look at some things tonight on how to keep from having an overloaded schedule. Now, listen, I know that this might not be easy for us to actually put into practice. It's easier said than done, right? I mean, we've had whole slogans. You remember, like, Smokey and all these other little mascots that we had, the dare dog that told us to just say no to drugs. And I mean, we've had all these campaigns that say, just say no, just say no, just say no. And we feel like that because it's an easy slogan, it's actually easy to accomplish, but it's not. And I'm going to tell you this now. If you don't learn how to say no, you're going to get a schedule full of junk. You're going to have a life full of obligations that don't fulfill you, they stress you out. Matter of fact, have you ever had that? Where you committed yourself to something that you really didn't have time for? And the whole time that event is approaching, or that meeting is approaching, you're dreading it. And you're thinking, man, if I didn't have to do this tonight, I could actually get some sleep. If I didn't have to do this tonight, I can actually get some rest. You know, I'm going to tell you, a lot of the things that we do in our life, even good things, are not meant for us to be doing. And as a result, we feel like we are falling apart. We're drained. We have no energy. We have no ever. Can I say this? This isn't just in your actions. This is in your relationships and everything. This is when people call you and they want you, and every time they call you, you jump and you come running. You're saying, well, you're telling us not to do that. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying this. You've got to learn that sometimes saying no to something will give you an opportunity to do something that you need to do. Can I say this? If you're exhausted tonight, some of you need to say no to a television when you get home. No to the phone. And you need to go to bed. Isn't that simple to think of? Think about. Yeah, isn't it simple to discuss? But how hard is it to get to bed at a decent time? Now, anybody else say, you know what? I have great intentions every night of being in bed at a decent time. Anybody like that? And how many of you, like me, all right, you have such great intentions and it never works out? You know, you find yourself saying, I'm going to go to bed at 10. Then you go to bed at 10, pick up your phone, and by the time you get done with Candy Crush, it's midnight. You know what I mean? It's the time has flown by. Now, maybe you don't have that problem, but look at this verse, if you would. In Proverbs chapter number 20, verse number 25. It says, it is a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows. It's saying, hey, listen, you're going to set your own trap. You're going to find yourself in your own snare if you commit yourself to something before you think it through and actually see if you're able to do it. We have a church that's busy. Have you noticed that? We do a lot of things. And I don't know. I'm sure other pastors say this. But I'm not the pastor that wants you at every service, all right? Now, I'll emphasize that again. I don't want you at every service. Because if you came to every time we were teaching the Bible in this church, you'd be here almost 7 days a week. You'd be here a lot. Because there's a lot of classes and a lot of things going on. And if you're here during your free time 6 days a week, then where's your family in that? Where's your sitting down and watching a movie with your wife? Where's your taking your kids outside and throwing the ball? Where's your going out to eat with your friends and your family? You say, well, what are you saying? We tell people all the time, don't ever walk through those doors because you feel like it's going to make you a better person. Don't ever walk through the doors because you think that being at church makes you a better person. Don't walk through those doors because you feel committed and obligated to be there. No, walk through those doors when you're ready to celebrate Jesus Christ. Ready to celebrate what he's done in your life. And I'm going to tell you, you'll get so much more out of that service than you will being saying, well, I've got to be there. You know, we're trying to raise up a lot of helpers within our children program. We want too many. You know why? Because we don't want someone walking into a class because they feel like it's their chore and their obligation. We want them walking in because they got an opportunity and they're excited to teach those little ones. And what we have found is we cannot put it all on one person's shoulders. And I'm going to say this. I have no problem. As much as we want you here, but I have no problem if you haven't seen your family all week for you to bail out on a Sunday night service. I have no problem for you to say, you know, we have got a busy schedule this week and Wednesday night's the only time we're going to get some family time. Take it. That's why we put it online. That's why we put it. You can always catch up on it later. The truth is the main thing you're getting about God shouldn't be coming from your church anyway. It should be coming from your own personal life that you're reading and praying and spending with God. Now, that might be the worst advertisement for church attendance ever, but the truth is, man, it's reality. You know, if you obligated yourself to just everything we did here, you would have no time for other things in your life. It'd be busy. That's why, you know, pray for those that do that, that establish that. And then, guess what? Pitch in where you can, but learn to say no on the things you don't want to do. Can I tell you what makes you miserable? When you volunteer for something you hate. Right? And there's a lot of people that do it. Matter of fact, I don't want to poll you tonight, but there's a lot of people working in careers that they cannot even stand. And they're wondering why they're not happy and wondering why they're not happy at home. You know, I remember for almost a year and a half, my wife came home crying from work and went to work crying. And one day she said, I just don't know what to do. And I looked and I said, look for a new job. It's time to change. You say, well, why? Why? That's harsh. No, if it makes you that miserable, then it's not God's will. That's not what God wanted you to do. Yeah, God has something for you. Find it and enjoy it. Dive in. But if you dive into the wrong things, can I just write this down? I'm going to jump ahead. Every time you say yes to something, you say no to something else. There's Eric and Jennifer's quote. Every time I say, yes, I'm going to do this, then that means I'm saying no to every other opportunity that's going to take place in that. Matter of fact, write this down, okay? People will respect you more for saying no up front than they ever will for you saying yes and not showing up. All right, can I say that again? They'll respect you more for saying, no, I can't up front than they'll ever respect you for saying, I'll be there, and then you not showing up. You know what hurts us the most is when somebody signs up to volunteer for something and no shows. I mean, that kills us. And it happens all the time. Now, what's great is God's raised up an army and somebody else jumps in. But there's always that moment to where we're sitting there and we're like, where are they? What are they going to do? Call them, see if they're coming, make it happen. David, get on the phone. You know, we're doing those things. And then finally we realize, hey, guess what? There's some people that you cannot count on because their word is never true. Now, can I say this? Are they bad people? Not at all. They just overcommit themselves, and as you overcommit, you can't be fully committed to anything. I tell people all the time, we don't need you to do 1,000 jobs in our church. We need you to find the one thing that God has called you to that you enjoy, dive in there, and give it everything you got. You know why? Because if you would take one thing and work hard at it, then you would succeed. But if you take 100 things, you're not going to be able to succeed at any of them. Because you're going to be spread too thin. Anybody ever say, or ever thought in their own lives, I feel like sometimes in life I'm spread too thin. I'm stretched too far. Anybody feel like that? All right. Normally that's if you got a job, you've got kids, you feel that often. You know what I mean? If you got a spouse, you got a relationship. If you're a single person trying to find time to date in the life that you're in, you find that very often. You know, it's hard to balance. It's hard to manage certain things. So let's look at 4 things you should do before you decide to commit to anything. All right? Now, first, let's look at 2 verses of Scripture that will help you out in the decision-making process. In Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 37, we find 2 Scriptures that kind of lined up. Matthew 5, verse 37, which you'll throw up on the screen. And then right after that, we'll go to James 5, verse 12. They're almost identical in what they're saying. But in Matthew 5, he's saying, hey, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Now look at this. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. You know, it's saying, hey, look, King James kind of takes this one. Go to James, if you would, Joe, real quick. It kind of takes this one and it says, but most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. He's saying, what are you talking about? He's saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Meaning, hey, look, if I can, I will, and I'll commit. If I can't, I'll say no. Well, how do I make sure that my yes is yes and my no is no? Simple. Don't overbook yourself. Don't overstretch yourself. Well, how do I do that? Number one, write this down. Don't forget it, right? Before I make any decision, I must not promise without thinking through the obligation. All right? Now, I'm not going to commit to being there until I think through what it's going to require of me to actually be there. All right? Does that make sense? Somebody comes up to you. Let's use me as an example. If I walk up to you and I say, Brian, will you take, and I'm not doing this, okay? Just talking to Brian, all right? Using him as an example. If I say, Brian, I want you to take our college age and I want you to run with them, teach them, and do all these other things. In that moment, he may feel honored. He may think, oh, wow, there's about 22 of those people. That'd be awesome. You know, I'm going to do it. But that's going to take a lot of commitment. That's going to take you putting your phone number out there and getting phone calls at 3:00 in the morning. That's going to take you putting together parties and you hosting things. I know Garrett, who's standing in the back, he's asking for people. He's heading up our small groups in community, not small groups within the church. We're trying to plant small groups in your home. And he's saying, hey, come do this. And you know what? You may sit there and say, you know what? That seems awesome. You know what? Can I ask you to do one favor before you say, yes, Garrett, I'm going to do this. Think it through and see if you even have the time to fulfill the promise you're about to make. See if you even have the energy, the resources to fulfill those things. The worst thing you can do is say, you know what? I'm going to buy this car. And then 2 months later realize you can't afford that car. The worst thing you can do is say, hey, I'm gonna buy this TV on 0% interest for 18 months, only to find that you can't pay it off in 18 months. And then all that interest comes piling back in. See, the worst thing we do in our society is we let other people think for us. And when we allow other people to think for us, we find one truth. Just because you didn't think it through does not omit you from enduring the consequences of the choice that's been made. And if you make an obligation, make a commitment, you get stuck with the pain that's associated if it's not the commitment for you. So number one, before I make a promise, let me think about this. Number two, this is especially for you married folk. All right, you ready for this? Before you decide anything, you need to discuss it with the other people in your life that it will involve. In other words, I don't blame her if she's upset because you walked in the house with a 70-inch TV that you didn't ask or talk to her about buying. You say, well, I shouldn't have to ask my wife. I shouldn't have to ask my husband to buy something. Can I ask you this? Can I tell you this? When you got married, you said, I don't want to do life without you. And you made a promise to not do life without them. So you young people, listen up. Listen to me, okay? When it says two become one, that means decisions too. That means I'm going to talk it through with you. And that's what dating is all about. Can you communicate? Are they honest? Are they open? Are they transparent? And if they are, then there's a good chance that relationship could survive. If they're not, your relationship's in trouble. All right? We understand. How many of you that are married would agree with that? All right? Okay. We raise our hand because we've got scars. All right? Am I right? We've got had those moments. You know, there's a statement in our society that I hate, and it is this. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask permission. How many of you have heard that? You know what that is? That's a lack of integrity. That's what that is. It's saying it's easier for us to go do than it is for us to... You know what you're saying? You're not an honest person. You're not a person of character. Because the truth is, man, it's a whole lot harder to get out of trouble than it is to get into it. And I'm telling you now, don't buy into that lie. You need to discuss it thoroughly through. That means this. If you're under 18, living under her or his roof, or their roof, whatever, mom and dad, guardian, whoever it is, then they do have a right to have an opinion in how you live your life. All right? Any mom and dad say, yes. All right? I know what the kids are thinking. Like, shut up, Pastor Josh, you know? But the truth is this. Also, listen, mom and dad, listen. If they're under 18 and they're living under your roof, then guess what? They have a right to express, before you start cheering, all right? You have a right to express your opinions in a loving and respectful manner. Am I right? So here's the thing. A lot of times, you know what I'm learning? You know what I'm learning from a lot of parents? I have a two-year-old. So my two-year-old right now is not speaking, okay? So he's not telling me anything. So there is no talk back. There is, like, terrible two-back, but there is no talk-back. But you know what I've learned from some of the parents around here? Because I ask questions, all right? Is when you value and respect them, they value and respect you in return. But when you run over them, well, what do you think they're learning to do to you? You know, and so in every decision, if you want to slow down and you want to learn how to say no, then discuss it. Now you say, well, I'm not married. Find an accountability partner. Find somebody that helps you out. If you struggle with your finances, find somebody financially sound and run every decision you're going to make by them. I know there's some couples in here that do some financial counseling within the church. And they've told me, they said, listen, if somebody's going to come to us for financial counseling, they've got to give us 2 months of bank records, everything they've spent. They got to be totally transparent. You say, well, I don't want somebody knowing my business. Well, the truth is you don't want somebody helping. That's the problem. But if you do, you're going to call them up and say, hey, is this a good decision? You know, I've said this before. Our treasurer at our church is kind of like my mom, Betty, back there in the back row. All right. And every major decision that I go through, when we're looking at a house, or we're looking at this, you can ask her. I'll call and I'll say, what should we do? Does this work? I'll crunch numbers. Does this make sense? Does this? And I probably get on her nerves with it. You know, when we're doing something as a church that's going to cost, we literally debate it. And we not debate it as in going at each other, but saying, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this? Matter of fact, the idea of that youth room in the top, the idea of that other room is not my idea at all. It was one of our elders, Doug, and Pastor David came to me and said, hey, it's a lot easier and a lot cheaper if you put a room above it than it is to build a whole other building because we need more space. And so I'm sitting there and like, that's a pretty good idea. So let's talk about that. Let's look at it. So I call the people involved in the building and have them process. You know why? The Bible says no one, no king goes to war without seeking the counsel of his advisors. It says, hey, there is success found in information. Have you ever heard this phrase? Knowledge is power. And can I tell you this? It's not about what you want. It's about what you want to accomplish in life. Write this down. Never forget it. Your wants will always get in front of your needs. Your wants make your needs unaffordable. If you're always buying what you want when you want it, then when a need happens, you can't afford it. Now, I'm living proof of that. I've made that mistake in my life. Anybody else say me too? All right? You want this, you want that, you want this, and then your motor goes out in your car. Well, now you can't get the motor. Why? Because you got the TV. Well, I'm going to tell you something about the TV. It'll make boom, boom noises, but it won't take you anywhere. You know what I mean? Sorry, I have a 2-year-old. That's a boon. Sorry about that. It's all coming out. But what we're saying is this. Listen, get advice. Get advice before you make decisions. If you're overbooking your schedule, then don't you control your schedule. Matter of fact, if you come to me and you want an appointment, you'll hear one statement. You need to go see Tanya. Go talk to my secretary and she'll get you on the schedule. You know why? Because I was double booking, triple booking people. I was having 3 and 4 people show up at the same time. And so you know what I said? Man, you know what? I am not really good at organizing my schedule, so Tanya, it is yours. We hired a secretary. You say, well, why is that? Because if I know I am not going to be able to do it well, then give it to somebody who makes sure I succeed. And that's why I'm very thankful for Tanya. All right? So you need to, number one, not make a promise without thinking through the consequences. Number two, don't make a decision without seeking advice. Number three, carefully and prayerfully make your choice. Now, I'm going to emphasize that again. Carefully and prayerfully. All right? Those two go hand in hand. In other words, carefully simply means you've thought it through. Prayerfully means God's given his approval. And if God hasn't given his approval on it, whatever you're saying yes to is going to hurt you. Whatever you're saying no to is going to hurt you. Get God's stamp of approval on it. All right, so write this down. I kind of hinted to it before. I want you to hear it again. It's always easier to get into something than it is to get out of something. All right, so let's put it this way. It's easier to get in debt than it is to get out of debt. Anybody say amen to that? It's easier to get into a relationship than it is to get out of one. All right, let's just be honest. All right, some of you are laughing. Maybe you're under conviction. I don't know what's going on, all right? All right, but the thing is, all right? It's easier for us to get into an argument than it is for us to get past the argument. Would you agree with that? So if I don't think it through, I'm going to get myself into trouble than I need to get out of. And it's always going to take me longer to get out. Matter of fact, let's hit home with everybody. It's easier to gain weight than it is to lose weight. Am I right? All right, now some of you got super metabolisms. I'm not talking to you. Matter of fact, and it's not because I'm not talking to you out of love. It's like the hand in the face, not talking. No, I'm just kidding. No, some of you can burn calories like that. Some of us, we store them. You know, we it's getting cold, we're putting it on. You know, the thing is this, listen. If I were to consciously think about it before I ate it, what it would make me do, matter of fact, it's like this. One little Debbie. To burn the calories from one little Debbie requires 45 minutes of walking at a brisk, almost jog pace, 45 minutes on a treadmill. One little Debbie. Now, if I start looking at my little Debbies, like hours on the treadmill, I won't eat them. You know why? I don't like the treadmill. Anybody else with me? You know, if I started looking at my purchases as years of interest, then I won't purchase. Why? Because I'm thinking through, I'm rationalizing, I'm getting advice, and I'm not making rash decisions. Matter of fact, maybe write this, they'll never forget it. Just because I could do it doesn't mean I should. Just because I can do something, just because I can date, doesn't mean I should date. All right, can I tell you this? If you're just now coming out of a bad relationship, and I'm talking, you've been in a marriage 25 years, and it's done, something's happened, even if they've passed away, don't dive into another relationship. You know, but if you've got some time behind you and you've got some healing, I talked to someone just a second ago. I said, okay, look, do you find yourself loving that person or hating that person? They said, no, I find myself with no feelings at all. Then you're ready to date. You say, why? Because if you go into another relationship loving somebody else, you're in trouble. That relationship's doomed. If you go into a relationship hating someone else, you're doomed in that relationship. But if you go in, then that relationship can succeed. You say, what do you mean? If it's you going in with nothing else, just you, then there's hope. There's a chance. All right, so just because I should doesn't mean just because I could doesn't mean I should. So, number four, look at this. Realize, all right, you've got limits. We all have limitations. If I'm making my decisions, yes and no is easy to make when I realize my limitations. Anybody ever done this? You ever gone to the grocery store to get bread and milk? Normally when they forecast snow, all of us have done it. You go get bread and milk. It's like those two become hot items, all right? And that's all you're getting. And so when you walk in the store, you walk right past the carts, buggies, whatever. If you're north, south, you figure out. You walk right past them and you think, I'm just getting bread and milk. Only to find yourself 5 minutes later with your arms so full that you can't pick up anything else. How many of you have done it? All right? And you see, you've got your Oreos, you've got your Wheat Thins, you've got your Diet Cokes, you've got your chocolate milk, you've got a gallon of milk in one hand and bread. And you're walking like this, and then all of a sudden you realize you need toilet paper. You ever had that? And you're standing there and you realize something. That I can't do it. That in order for me to pick something else up, I've got to lay something down. And if I try to add something else on, it's all going to fall apart and fall flat on the floor. And then I'm going to have a mess. And I don't know about you, but I've done that. And what a parable of life. Because many of us do the same things with our schedules. We go in and we're just going to harmlessly go through the day. And we say yes to this and yes to this and yes to this and yes to this. And the next thing you know, we are so overloaded in a week that if somebody says one more thing to us, we're going to fall apart. If somebody looks at us the wrong way, we're going to fall apart. If a gnat burps, we're going to fall apart. You know, we get so strung out because we've got so much. Can I tell you this? You've got to know that there's limitations to what you can do. Sometimes you need to just grab the cart. Sometimes you need to realize that God didn't put you on this earth to do everything. He didn't put you on this earth to do everything for your kids. Can I say that again? You say, well, my kids need training. Yes, but you know what the best training is to allow them to do some things on their own. All right, and if you're sitting there and you're doing their homework, they're not learning math. You know math, and they're getting the credit for it. And I don't know anybody in here that likes to go to work and work so somebody else can get the paycheck. You know what happens is you sit there and you're like, that guy's lazy. Can I tell you this? Don't raise a lazy generation. Sometimes it's best to let your kids learn by being able to get out there and do. And I tell people all the time, failure is part of the learning process. Not being able to accomplish something is part of the learning process. Because it teaches you how to seek help. Teaches you how to do what needs to be done. You know, we live in a very simplified world, don't we? You know, we talked about it in the very first week, where you can just push a button on these little Amazon buttons, and what you want shows up at your door just by simply pushing the Tide button when you're out. You know, I look at that and I was like, man, we've made it really, really easy. And there's no wonder why we get all bent out of shape over the smallest things nowadays. No wonder why we're up ready to go to war over small issues today. Remember, I said it Sunday morning. It's not the major issues that you need to worry about causing a divorce in your family, causing a split, causing financial ruin. It's the minor things that get blown up. Those are the things you got to worry about. No church, rarely does a church split over major issues. It normally always splits over something minor. All right, so I've got limits. I can't carry the milk, the bread, the cookies. In other words, I can't carry everybody and still stand strong on my own. All right, some of you are carrying people. You're carrying all their burdens. You're carrying all this. Now, my question to you is this. When did God ask you to be the Savior of the world? Or did God already give that position to someone else who's already conquered those things for everybody? See, my job as a pastor is not to be there for you every time you have a problem. Because there's only one of me and there's a lot of you. All right? It's impossible. But my job as a pastor is to teach you that there is someone that is there for you every single time you're in need, and to teach you how to rely on Him without the need of anybody else. Can I tell you this? You can go to God and have just as much as power as anybody else in this room. You can go to God and see the miraculous just like anybody else in this room. And you don't have to be in this room to do it. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be in an altar to get saved? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be in a revival to get a calling of God in your life? Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit's not found in a building, but He's found in your heart and your life? That you can go anywhere and have the power of God right there with you. And if we're going to teach you, we're going to let you learn by standing on your own. Now, are we here? Yes. Matter of fact, if you're involved in one of the ministries of our church, whether it's Celebrate, teaching our kids, you're in some shape, form, fashion, sound ministry, music ministry, and you're there for people, would you slip your hand up? Slip your hand up. Look at this. All around here. If I did that on a Sunday morning, I'd say about 60% of our church is involved in some type of ministry. You know, and I look at that and I think, man, that's amazing. But let me ask you this. Who's ministering to you? How are you on the inside? The last thing we need is someone who's ministering yet feeling alone. Somebody who's giving yet feels like they have nothing. And I've learned this about givers. A lot of times people that are going and don't know how to say no are people who give until they give out and they've got nothing left. You know what happens when you have nothing left? People come running. Well, ask the prodigal son. That's not what they did for him. He ran out of resources. He ran out of things to keep him happy, and they left him in his mess. And can I say it? It's an unfortunate truth of the world. That the world will use you as much as you'll let them, but then when you are used up, they will not be found to help you get back on your feet. Now, you know what? As children of God, we say, not here, right? Not here. We'll help you get back on your feet. But the truth is realize this. We're people trying to stay on our feet too, and we can't be God for you. So let us tell you about a God that can be there. Let me tell you about the one that can be there for you in any situation, in any shape, form, or fashion. Two truths that I want you to learn tonight, and we'll be done. Number one, you can only carry so much before you fall apart. That's it. That's simple. You can only take on so much. And when you fall apart, have you ever realized that? It makes a mess. And if you're the one holding up everybody else and you fall apart, then everybody you're holding up falls apart too. You know what I've loved about this year? For the first time in my ministry, and excuse me if I get emotional, the first time since God has called me to pastor, that I have literally, my family has been through a lot this year, as many of your families have, and yet the church was able to still go on without us being here. On spur of the moment, I was able to call people and step up and preach. Right now, I don't have an obligation or a worry of who's going to preach when I'm gone. It's okay, I've got so many to ask. Who do I ask? That's the issue. I've been ministering now for 8 years, and never once has that happened. Can I tell you this? God set this year up perfectly for us. We have had more go wrong in this year than any other year, it seems like. And yet, the church is still here, the world's still turning, and we're still going on. Why? Because God did not put Josh Moore on this planet to be the Savior of the world. And thank God there's other people that can give back when we don't have it to give. Can I ask you this? Who is that for you? Who's that? Who gives to you? Who feeds you? Can I say this? Nobody is worried about how hungry you are as much as you are. You ever been working so hard during the day that you forgot to give your kid lunch? Anybody ever done that? All right, let's just be honest. Anybody ever worked so hard in the day you forgot to give yourself lunch? You know what I mean? All of a sudden, 9 p.m., 10 p.m. rolls around, you start slowing down, you sit down, and you realize, I'm hungry. Or all of a sudden, you're driving down the road, and at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you get that little voice that says, when are we going to eat? You know what I mean? You know what I've learned is, man, sometimes you can get so busy that you don't even see your own needs, much less the needs of those around you. And can I tell you this? Nobody's going to feed you as much as you can feed you. And you can say, Brother Josh, I need your help. But I'm going to tell you this. If you can learn how to get in God's Word and let the Holy Spirit help you, you will find that you can feed yourself a whole lot more than Brother Josh could ever give you. You could find that you can find a lot more answers than anybody in this room could give you. Why? Because only you know your needs. Only you know your weaknesses. Only you truly know where you struggle. Matter of fact, I read a statistic the other day that says 79% of the sin that's in the church is hidden. It's never spoken of. It's never let out. That most of the things that we deal with, we don't want anybody else to know because we feel like they would judge us. And I'm wondering to myself, then why in the world are we surprised that more churches are closing today than opening? Why are we surprised that in America we see a total decline in membership? Why are we surprised that in the next 5 to 10 years, that out of all the major religions in the world, they're predicting only 5 will remain and Christianity will be barely hanging on to be number 5? Why does that shock us? Because we don't know how to get the answers we need because we are too busy. And we are trying to help. The greatest person you'll ever help in your life is yourself. Now, that I know that's not a church. We teach in our church, put others first. The Bible says, treat your neighbor as yourself. And if you're not treating yourself well, there's a good chance you're not treating them well either. Are you with me? If you're exhausted, you're probably taking it out on somebody else. If you're hurting, you're probably hurting somebody else. And so I'm going to tell you this now. The greatest person you can help today is to help yourself. And once you're established, then turn around and help somebody else. It's almost like if we were hanging off a cliff. I'd rather you get your feet set before you grab my hand. Because if your feet aren't set and you grab my hand, we're both going over. Am I right? But if you can stabilize yourself, there's a chance you can save me. Can I tell you this? We will never reach the world. Write it down. Let's not forget this. The church will never reach the world until we stabilize the church. And what stabilizes the church? The cross. Jesus Christ. To where we realize that all are created equal, that there's none righteous, but the grace of God gives us, every one of us, equal opportunity to experience the power of God. So number one, when you fall apart, you can only carry so much before you fall apart, but when you fall apart, everybody else will too. Number two, if I'm picking something else up, that means I'm setting something else down, which simply means this. There are certain good things in your life you need to say no to so you can embrace the best. I say this to people all the time. I said it to a lady tonight. I've said it to my brother numerous times. Don't marry the first person you date after a bad relationship. Here's why. You know, make sure that person's going to stick around. I'm not saying don't marry them in the long run, but just don't go out and in 6 months be married. Here's why. Because if you were in a bad relationship, no matter who you date, they're going to be better. But we don't want you to have better. We need you. We need you to understand that you deserve the best and God has the best for you. And just because it's better doesn't mean it's best. Just because it's good doesn't mean it's right. There are a lot of people losing their homes doing good things that they shouldn't be doing. Isn't that weird to hear in church? But it's true. There's a lot of pastors that will lose their families over pastoring a church. And that's not right. That's not how God intended it. Can I ask you this? Why would God put you in a job that's going to cost you your marriage? And why would God put you in a job that's going to cost you your children? He would never do that. Hey, why would God ask you to give something that's going to hurt you to give? Can I just get real here? I've said it before. I think we need to emphasize it again. You know, I've heard the statement, I'll give the shirt off my back. Great. Give the shirt off your back to someone as long as you've got another shirt to put on. Am I right? But if you ain't got another shirt to put on, keep your shirt on and go find somebody with two and let them give the shirt off their back. The Bible says if you've been given much, give much. If you've been given little, give little. In other words, it's like this. There's people all around here that can help in ways that you cannot help. Don't try to help. Get them to the people that can. Because God will never hurt you to help somebody because it doesn't solve the problem. It just brings the problem home. And a lot of people say, well, I'll give my last $10 to make sure that somebody else can eat. Well, then what are you going to eat? And did you solve a problem? No, you created a problem. No, I have enough faith in God that He has the $10 and He knows where it's at. And I'm just going to be faithful and I'm going to do what I need to do. About a year ago, somebody picked up a hitchhiker and brought him to church. And those hitchhikers walked into the church needing a ticket to Baltimore. Y'all remember this? On a Wednesday night. And we got to talking to them. And I remember some of them took them in that room. And we stood down here. We had an extended service that night. And I said, hey, listen, it came to my attention. You've got a drug problem. We can help you. And if you'll let us, we'll surround you, we'll keep you here, we'll find you a place to live. But if not, here's the money for your bus ticket. And that night, that money came in for the bus ticket. It wasn't 3 months later that those people left Baltimore and came back here. And there for a while, almost 8 months of their life, they were involved in our Celebrate programs and people loving them. Even to this day, I get calls from both of them. You know what? They're no longer together as a couple. They're not doing the things that they used to do. They're not perfect. They're not. They slip up. They go. They get. But we're still there. You know what? I tell people all the time. Sometimes what you think is your need is not your need at all. And if we try to meet the needs that other people have and don't let God be involved in that, then we've royally messed up. And sometimes we've got to say, no, I will not help you destroy yourself. No, I will not give you the money to go buy your next dime back. No, I will not buy you that six pack. And you say, well, they'll get mad at me and they'll hate me. Can I tell you this? I'd rather you hate me and us have a chance of saving your life than you to love me while you destroy your life. And there's been some times you can ask, we got to get real with some people. And sometimes it's not easy to do. And sometimes it's not easy to say no. But can I tell you this? If I say yes, and I give in, and I give you this, and I do this, then we're saying no to the opportunity that God actually has for you. And I'm asking you, I wonder how many of you tonight are saying no to the opportunities that God's having for you because you're saying yes to good opportunities that God didn't design. All right, so I want you to ask yourself four questions, and real quick, write them down because I'm not going to spend time with them. Number one, before you make a decision, ask yourself these four things. Is it worth, number one, my time? All right, is it worth the time? Because time is the one thing you'll never get back. Is it worth the amount of energy it's going to take? Number two, is it worth the resources you're going to have to put in? And number four, is it worth your life? Because every time you say yes to someone or something, you're giving a part of your life away. And can I tell you this? And I love people, all right? Matter of fact, there's an article coming out this Friday on our church and what God's doing. And many of you are in that article. And they're talking about the people that are being helped. I love helping people. But can I tell you this? We cannot help everybody. You cannot help someone who's not willing to help themselves. And what happens when you do is you start getting bitter and angry at God because you're trying your best and nothing's working out. You're giving your all, and the whole time God's sitting up there saying, I never asked you to do that. I never called you to do that. And if you'd have sought me, that would have never happened. Maybe we do this. Instead of making a to-do list, maybe you make a don't-do list. You know? Maybe you make, let's make it better. Instead of making a to-do list, maybe you make the don't-do list. Or maybe even better, you make the what matters most list. Because how often do you put, I'm going to hug my children today on my to-do list? How often do you put, I'm going to get alone time with God on my to-do list? Maybe you start saying, don't go to bed without hugging your family. Don't start your day without reading God's word. Don't. Why? Because your to-do will keep you from a lot of things that need to be done that don't get done. Matter of fact, let's put it this way. Let's sum her up like this. Some of us need an activities diet. All right? Now, many of us know what a diet actually is, right? That's when we deprive ourselves of food. All right? Or we actually eat the right foods. I don't know about you. When I diet, it's normally not changing what I eat. It's not eating what I eat. Anybody else like that? All right? And then what happens is I get done dieting, and it comes back with a vengeance. All right? And it brings extra pounds with them. It's almost like that verse that says, if you get rid of a demon, he comes back and finds that you got your house in order. He goes and gets seven. That's what I feel like my pounds do. If you lose a pound, he goes and gets seven of his that are stronger, and they come back and they add on to your hips. Anybody like that? All right. But what I'm saying is maybe you start doing things that are on purpose going to slow you down. All right, like this. Maybe you, on your off day, take all clocks and watches and put them up to where there's no time limits on your relaxation. No time limits on your family. Maybe on your off day you turn your phone off. You know what the best week of this year was for me? When we went on vacation and I turned my phone off and didn't touch it for a week. It was amazing. It was. Until I turned it back on and it like overheated in my hand. And I didn't even have the Note 7 yet, so it wasn't supposed to do that, you know? The thing is, man, it was nice to be able to get away from it. You know, when I first turned it off, I freaked out. Something was going to happen. You know, I was going to miss something. But I was listening to Pastor Dennis preach that Sunday morning. I was watching it on our Facebook Live. And he said, hey, you know what? I get to choose whether or not I'm going to clock out at the end of the day. I can either take work home or I can go home. And I remember I was like, okay. And I turned him off right in the middle of his sermon. I shut him off. I turned my phone off and I put it down and I went to the beach. You know, and in all honesty, it was the only day that we got 3 uninterrupted hours where it didn't rain the entire time we were there. And I thought to myself, I could have sat in here and even watched church doing something great. Or I could have gone and watched my son love the ocean. I could have gone and got stung by the jellyfish. Made the memory with Nathan as I screamed like a little girl, jumping up and down, begging him to pee on me in the middle of the ocean. He didn't do it. He didn't let me. I just saw it on a show one day. That's what you're supposed to do. All right. But some of you are in such a hurry, you need to do the complete opposite. You need to slow yourself down. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Go to the grocery store and park at the furthest space away. And then get out and walk in. And then after you get your groceries, get in the longest line. And you just stand there. And you read the National Enquirer. And you realize that most of that is not true. And then you self-righteously judge every person that's in a hurry at the self-checkout. And you start saying, I'm not saying do that. Don't do that. But what I am saying is activities, diet, do something that makes you slow down. I know many of our pastors, we promote family time. We do. We want them to spend time with their families, and we want them to get away. And every now and then they'll come in, I won't be here tonight. I won't do that. And it's never been a problem. Dennis, Pastor Dennis, likes to go to a place called Metcalf Bottoms. Anybody ever heard of that? There's no cell phone coverage there. Jordan and I, we like to drive through Cades Cove. There's no cell phones covered. Not in high season. You know, you just don't, that doesn't help you slow down. That makes you want to kill somebody in the high season. You know, but you go when nobody else is there, and you get there and you relax. Can I tell you this? What are you doing to stop and actually smell the roses in life? What are you doing to actually enjoy the blessings you have? Because we've said it 1,000 times, your children aren't children forever. All right? Your little babies aren't babies forever. Don't hate the diapers. One day you'll wish they were in them. You know? Don't hate the always hearing mom. One day you'll sit there and wish they would call. You know? But if they're grown up and they're out there, hey, guess what? Your babies, your grandbabies, they're only grandbabies for a little bit. Spoil them. I mean, get them jacked on chocolate and send them home. You know? But the thing is listen. Hey, can I tell you this? Hey, listen. If you're dating, don't be in a hurry to get married. Enjoy the simplicity of dating. You're saying, well, dating's difficult. Well, date the right person. Enjoy your time together. You know, not that marriage is bad, but marriage changes things. Hey, and if you're just newlyweds, which we have a lot of those this year, don't be in a hurry to have babies. You say, well, my medical time clock is running out. Really, are you God? I mean, because Sarah had a baby at 99 years old, and I'm pretty sure you're not there. Are you with me? The truth is this, man, babies are wonderful, but they change everything. You'll miss going to the movies. You know? You'll miss being able to sleep through a night. How many of parents know what we're talking about? But here's the truth. What's wrong with saying no, taking 2 hours on Thanksgiving, and it just being you alone with your family? What's wrong with saying no and maybe not going to the Christmas party so that y'all could go drive around and look at the lights? What's wrong with saying, no, I don't need the overtime? Because in all honesty, the memories I make with my kids will last longer than the presents I give them. Church, I'm just saying this. If you're going to live, you got to slow down. You got to realize that the things we live for, they fade. Unless we're living for Him and doing what He's asked us to do, and then those things will never fade. So bow your heads, close your eyes, nobody look around. Now, how many of you are here tonight, and tonight, it kind of resonates with you, because maybe, in all honesty, you're the one that's stretched too thin. Will you slip your hand up? Okay. Now, I know it's easy for me to stand up here and say, just say no, but you know what? That's going to have to become a lifestyle. It's going to have to become a habit. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is going to start the first time you say no. And you build from that. How many of you are here and you say, you know what, there's certain things that I feel like I'm missing out on in life. Maybe you're missing out on your children. Maybe you're missing out on some friendships. Maybe you're missing out on some daily time with God. But there's some things in life that you're not getting to enjoy right now because of the busyness in life. Is there anybody like that? Slip their hand up. Can I ask you this? When are you going to start enjoying that? Because everybody who waits for tomorrow finds that tomorrow never comes. You know, I know of so many people, and even in my own life, that use that phrase, one day I will, one day I will, one day I will. And I have learned that one day is a fantasy. It's a neverland that you never get to. Some of us need to say, today I'm going to. Today I'm going to love my family. Today I'm going to give my best. Today I'm going to take time to enjoy what God has blessed me with. Solomon said it this way. What good does it do for me to work my whole life and then die and somebody else enjoy everything I worked for? He said, I'm going to enjoy today the labor, the fruits of my labor. I'm going to enjoy it. So I challenge some of you tonight, go home and just keep the TV off. Maybe break out the board game. You might have to dust it off. Your kids might think you're weird. But maybe you play the game of life. Maybe you start a game of Monopoly that you can finish in 10 years. You know? Maybe it's time for some sorry, some trouble. You know, somebody asked me, what do you think the biggest problem with our society is? Why do you think it keeps getting worse and worse? I think it's because we have stopped taking time to enjoy the blessings of the moments that God has given us. And we spend the moments God has given us trying to figure out how to get to another moment that we never reach. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. This is it. Now stand with me and grab somebody's hand and look at me. I don't want to be the morbid guy that says, you might not wake up tomorrow. I don't want to do that. Because whether you live or die, you will wake up somewhere tomorrow. That's the truth. My question is this. If today was your last day on earth, are you going to leave your family with a memory? Or are you going to leave them with a hole? Are they going to look and wonder and wish they had more time with you? Or are they going to be able to sit down and actually celebrate so many times they've had with you? Are they going to be able to sit around? You know what my favorite is, to sit around with a family of like a grandpa that's died. And while you're sitting there and tears are pouring out and grief is just pouring out, everybody's telling their stories of grandpa. Yeah, he did this. Grandma did this. You know, I don't want to die, and the one thing my kid says about me is, my dad was a hard worker. I don't want that. I want to be able to hear my son or somebody be able to hear my son say, my dad was my best friend. Then you say, when he's 2 years old, are you a best friend? No. It's like sometimes we're Mortal Kombat, you know? But there's going to come a day that he's on his own that hopefully at that point it is the friendship time to where we get to enjoy and reap the benefits of all the hard work put in. Mom and Dad, I'm going to tell you this now. One day it'll come back to you. Now, I want you to understand this. It'll come back to you, but what comes back is what you gave. And if you were too busy for them, there's a good chance they're going to be too busy for you. You with me? So, the Bible says we reap what we sow. So, let's sow things that we want to reap. And let's be present. The most powerful gift that you can give anybody is the power of presence, to be there when they need you, to be there when they're celebrating, to be there when they're sad. They'll never forget the people who are always there for them. But in that does not mean you are to be all things for everybody. Only He can do that. So let's learn how to say no sometimes so that we can say yes to the right things. All right? Let's pray. God, I love you. I thank you for the day that you've given us. And God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. God, you're so good to us. And God, right now, I do. I want to lift up those firefighters that are working so hard all over the place. And God, I know they're exhausted. Their families have been away from them for a while. And God, I just pray, send some rain. God, I pray that you'll just give those guys some relief. God, I know that even as we sit here, just thinking of that, God, we're grateful for those that don't even know our names, but yet are putting their lives on the line for us. Whether they're in a firefighting uniform, a police officer, or whether they're in a soldier uniform, all over this nation, all over this world, God, we thank you for those who care about us. And every time that makes me think of Jesus and how thankful we are that he put his life on the line for us too. God, I pray that you will help us to realize that we were not put on this earth to accomplish to-do lists. We were put on this earth to live the abundant life that you had laid out long before we took our first breath. And God, I pray that this will be a season of celebration. God, that this holiday, don't let it become a burden to our people in Grace. God, may it become an opportunity to celebrate families and most of all to celebrate you. God, I pray the joy will start flooding back in as we stop and listen for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things, and everyone said, amen. God bless you.